time when I stopped having any records in on. Fortunately, by the time I got to Bradford, they said, well, we've got everybody off the march. So that was one complication. During the next 2 weeks, I just happened to look today. My wife always kept a daily diary, and I hunted up the days of the flood. And for 2 weeks, I think either she or I was in Bradford. She was in the picture back her there, of her and my older sister, Sarah Gale. And we were in the to committee meetings or something or other. For every day for 3 weeks or 2 weeks rather. We had three people stay with us for 2 weeks, a bird, bed and breakfast, three young people. And I think that the one thing that the March flood did do was to bring the different nationalities together in a cosmopolitan attitude, which has remained also in Bradford up until the present time, excepting the present time we are getting growing past in Bradford. I have only been in Bradford itself 7 years. I spent over 70 years in West Wilmbury Township. I'm 90 years old next spring. And, came from England when I was 2 years old. And West Wilmbury, as far as I'm concerned, is still my municipality, even though I live in Bradford.
That's a big story. I have that picture, I could find it. Now, these are some memories of the late Sally Evans. This is Charlie Evans. She submitted this article, the speech that I don't know who she meant the speech to, but it, I got it from the Women's Institute book, the Tweet Dinner book. Now, she said, on the 9th of October 15th, she was playing bridge with neighbors, and they heard that volunteer firemen were bringing Marsh families to the town hall. So she went home, and she and Charlie took tea, coffee, dried milk, sugar, all those type of things, and lots of socks down to the town hall. They found three or four other women there, and half a dozen families already. The second floor of the town hall was turned into a dormitory for the single men. And then all the families that came into Bradford, they found homes for them, and that many people stayed with the residents of Bradford for 10 days to 3 weeks. And they often gave the people breakfast. And then that same night, Charlie and several men roused shopkeepers who were needing more food, and they made soup and coffee, and they served meals until midnight. And then she went home, but I think it was about 3:30 in the morning. Charlie came with a family of five for them to put up, and they fitted them out with pajamas. She said they were girls there, and they only had boys' pajamas, so they had to wear those. And at 6 a.m., she was back down at the town hall, and there were more ladies there, and the presidents of the women's group, like the Women's Institute, the Knitting Club, and the IODE, they organized a hot meal. They decided that they would have stew on Saturday, but they were making stew all day long, and the people that lived closest to the town hall were asked if they would make. And all the vegetables were donated by the packing plants. The storekeepers, they donated all the other foods. They didn't know whether they were going to get paid or not. And they decided that those meals were being made and served throughout the day. Sandwiches and services of coffee were sent down to the master of the workers. Now they decided on Sunday to have roast beef. So if they were going to have roast beef, they had to have sittings. But so they had various sittings for 150 people at a time all throughout the day. Then that Sunday afternoon, Marie Bart Evans, he called the council meeting with the other township councils and reps from service clubs and women's organizations, and they set up these various committees to cope with the situation. The Rotary Club, the Woods of Charles Housing, the Lions Club, food supplies, firemen, distribution of clothing until the Salvation Army took over later. And the women's groups were to prepare and serve the meals and also help the firemen with the clothes. And the women, they worked as a group. They didn't work under their various organizations. They were just one big group. And this is Martha Evans, Mrs. Brock Evans, she was in charge of meal planning. They decided they would have breakfasts from 6 to 8, lunch 11:30 to 1:30, dinner 5:30 to 7:30, but the men that were working, clearing up in the marsh, that they were fed at various times throughout the day. But they found that some people were just sitting there at the tables all day long. That's why they decided that they had to have a shift. After the first week, the St. John's Ambulance from Toronto, they came in and helped from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. They did that for the following 10 days. They had one driver plus two, usually two women, and then usually a man and woman from Bradford would help. And they used to make lunches that were needed throughout the night, and they would send loads of coffee and sandwiches to the workers in the mass. They also had the porridge made already for breakfast. And the second Sunday afternoon, the St. John's Ambulance from Barry came, and they did a 24-hour shift. They had to, the cooking was with this wood stove, which they kept going all the time. The coffee pot was never off the stove, I said. They also had an old two-burner propane stove. All the water had to be heated until Cousin's Dairy. They used to get 2 or 3 milk cans of hot water 3 times a day. And later, when I guess some of the authorities found out the situation, they provided a large electric hot water heater in the tank they had then installed. And then 2 new propane stoves were loaned free by an agent in Maple. And the Lions Club, they built a woodshed by the town hall, and they fixed that up as a storage place for food. They had orange crates around the walls, and more orange crates down the steps, and that's where they stacked all the pans versus food like that. And they had, although they planned menus, they often used to be a lot of food given to them that was perishable, so then they had to kind of rearrange their food, because they didn't have any refrigeration. They never lost any food. Nobody ever was sick from it. They had baking was sent from Greater first, and a small resort owner, he bought everything that was left over when he was shutting up for the winter, and came baking. She visited, and she asked Sonny Evans to appear on a radio station. Well, she said that was the worst thing that ever, to do that, but she thought if anybody else was doing their thing here, that was the least she could do, so she did go on the radio. And then gradually the families were, they found accommodations for them, and they were given a food parcel, plus various toiletries and washing up tubs and stuff like that. They had a large hamper for big families, like 10 to 12, and then a smaller box for smaller families, and they also had baby boxes. And after the families were relocated into their own homes, or they found other homes, all the boxes were relocated and packed at a hut at the trailer camp, and that was operated by the Rotary Club. And they got one box per family per week until the last box was given out on January the 26th. Altogether, there were 2,500 boxes packed in the hut by Marsh residents, and 300 boxes were packed in the town hall by Mrs. Morton and some other volunteers. The doctors persuaded the Red Cross to provide beds and bedding for a temporary hospital in the community hall at Bond Head. Do you remember that? And that was staffed by women of Bond Head and district, and at all times there was a registered nurse on duty. Other than colds, there was never any serious sickness. They were very afraid, you know, if there were anyone got sick, that would be an epidemic, but nothing ever was. And the merchants in town were very generous. They donated food as needed, not knowing if they would ever be reimbursed or not. But on the Monday after the flood, a representative from the Provincial Department of Welfare was here, and he advised that all food bills would be paid if the work was done by volunteers. They wouldn't pay anybody the preparation or serving, but they would pay the actual food provided it had been passed, and the bills were passed and signed by the right person. And even the public were extremely generous. And she quotes this, this is just a brief part of her speech, but this is how she quotes. And being a woman, I just had to add it. This is from Matthew Arnold. If ever the time comes when women work together, simply and solely for the benefit of mankind, it will be a power, setting as the world has.